Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. It is I. Happy Saturday. So much going on for me. I hope you share my enthusiasm. Gotta tell you, I've been doing it every day for half a year. For the buck, for the bang, nothing is more powerful than diving into the cold, freezing ocean. At least for me, maybe not for you. But I gotta tell you, it's a big one. It's a big one, and I've done shows on explaining why, so I'll let it go. But I bring the salt of the ocean to you every single Saturday at 10 a.m. You're not really crazy. You think you are, but you're not really crazy. You're just toxic and stiff. This is a subtlety. It's a real subtlety. We all see our world through what we think is our emotional framework. Right? You're on the freeway. Somebody cuts you off. You give them a dirty look. They give you a dirty look. The next thing we know, there's road rage. Now, our organism, human Homo sapiens, trained to understand that moment as an emotional dynamic. It's not. It's not. You're not in a good mood because somebody dissed you. You weren't treated correctly. You weren't given the respect you deserve. You were betrayed. The whole litany of insults we endure each and every day. And you're upset about it. And you have a right to be. You think it's an emotional exchange. It's not. When are we going to get this simple concept through our head? Obviously, millions and millions and billions and trillions of Americans aren't. Because if they were, we wouldn't be dishing out Prozac and Klonopin and Xanax and lithium and every other cursed pharmaceutical to rewire the chemistry of your brain, because your emotions are all in a state of disarray. If we understood what I was saying, we wouldn't do that. We'd come to terms with the fact that you're toxic and you're stiff and you're depleted. Now, there are other systems of medicine, Chinese medicine. I'm going to show you today, part one and part two of the show. Part two, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, later on, soon to be radicalhealthsolutions.net. And get hip to the way the Chinese see your emotions. I mean Chinese medicine. I don't mean the Chinese that are buying out America. I mean Chinese medicine. I mean Ayurvedic medicine. I mean Indian medicine. I mean all the medicines from all the continents years ago when we had more common sense. When common sense trumped science instead of vice versa. So you're not really crazy. You're depressed. You have anxiety. You have depression and anxiety. We come up with new descriptive terms every single day, every day. The manuals pump out a new term. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to continue to do it. And now we're combining this with our understanding of genetics. You know us, mankind. Once we get a little bit of knowledge, we are dangerous. And the whole genomics thing is going to turn what we understand as your emotional makeup into something that's going to be a catastrophe. You think we have justification for dispensing with all sorts of pharmaceuticals now? Wow. As this genome thing kicks on, and it is, and it's going to continue, and it's not going to stop, we're going to be rewiring you with everything. And we're going to have all the science behind it and all the studies behind it. And what we're going to overlook once again is it your bad mood, your fear, your anxiety, whatever you got lots of that you don't want, that you can't shake, should first be deferred to your levels of toxicity and to something I'm just going to term in a very simplistic way, your joints are stiff. Now, how am I going to get this point across to you, especially if you're suffering? How do I get this point across to you? I have no idea. Scientists fail every day. I fail every day. Every now and then, somebody graces me with a complete healing. Yeah, every now and then. But any doctor that tries to deliver a healing faces the fact that he or she fail most of the time. That is the truth. Any good scientist will tell you the same thing. It's failure after failure after failure, and then God bestows upon you a glimmer of success. That doesn't stop us. It makes us feel crazy, but it doesn't stop us. So how am I going to get you to understand this? All right. Haven't you ever had the experience where you're in a terrible mood over a certain issue? You got fired from your job. You're going to lose your job. You didn't get the raise you wanted. There was some emotional betrayment. Haven't you ever had the experience where you were in the midst of that pain? And something so wonderful and so glorious, something else happened to you, coincident with the tragic event. And all of a sudden, your pain was gone. That had to have happened to you. That's a pretty simple thing to understand. And what I want you to consider in this instant, again, you're sad, distressed, anxiety-ridden because you lost your job, and then, boom, something happens. And no, not that you got another job. Something else happens. You fall in love. You win the marathon. Somebody tells you something about yourself that you always knew was true, but nobody ever noticed it, and they tell it to you in this grandiose way, and it asserts, it confirms the wonder of you. And all of a sudden that you lost your job doesn't matter anymore. That's what I'm talking about. You still lost your job. What happened? It's not like whatever happened changed the fact that you lost your job. It changed your vantage point. It changed the lens through which you see your world. It hooked you back into the big picture and took you out of the small picture, because the small picture doesn't count. The small picture doesn't count. It's not what happened today. It's what happens over 5 to 10 years. That's what happened. You had your vantage point shifted. And it took time. It took time. You lost your job. You lamented. It was a week, 2 weeks. You were depressed. You had anxiety. How are you going to feed yourself? What was your wife going to think? Were your kids, your loved ones, your neighbors, your colleagues, your reputation, your resume? It took weeks and you were in pain. And then, boom, something shifted your vantage point. Suppose you could do that really fast. Suppose you could lose your job, and what it took 6 weeks to do, you could do in 6 minutes. Suppose. Well, to answer that, you've just got to get into the mechanism. What happens when you lose your job, and then at some point, you get into perspective on it, and it doesn't hurt anymore. What happened? What I want you to do is understand from this day and never forget it, that there is a chemistry at work, a chemistry you have control of, a chemistry that defines in any given moment how you see your world. And the wisdom that you are looking for is the wisdom that dictates a certain reality. And that reality is the way you see your world will fulfill itself. The half is cup is half empty, your life is empty. And if it's half full, your life is half full. The difference between how you see your world in that moment of pain, in that moment where the rubber meets the road, has to do with your ability to manipulate your internal chemistry. That's why you have a health practice. That is why you have a health practice. And you can measure the efficacy of that practice by your ability to shift that emotional dynamic and realize what you think is your anxiety, what you think is your depression, what you think is your manic depressive state, what you think is your obsessive compulsive fear state, whatever you think you are, is a matter of that ability to shift your vantage point. Now, if you're on the website, get to picture number one. If you're not on the website, get on the website sometime and look at picture number one. Mind you, I'm really going to get into this the second half of the show, which will be posted in about an hour when I finish my extraterrestrial show here, the show that broadcasts all over. I do my own second show, and I post that to the site. And that show goes longer. It goes into more detail. So I give you the appetizer, and then later on, I get to the main course. It's a teaser. I can take my time a little more, because this stuff takes time. If you think you understand this stuff, you don't understand it. That means you don't understand it. You got to work with this stuff. You got to work it till you have that experience where you get up in the morning and you don't feel good. You failed your test. You struck out at home plate. You lost the game. You lost the job. Someone disrespected you. Someone abused you. You've got this down. When you can shift out of that into the big picture, and that is a function of cultivating a health practice. An effective health practice gives you that. That is power. And we're always forfeiting that power. We're always forfeiting that power to, I got to do the laundry. I got to get the house painted. I got all these chores to do. I got to fix the car. I've got responsibilities. I've got so much to do, I can't get to that. That is retarded. Admit that within yourself. Admit that as a species, we all should get together and admit that that is the worst of us. When we sacrifice the things we can do to facilitate our life in the name of doing things that keep us enslaved, we have to admit that we have a retard gene within us. There's something inherently stupid about the way we function as Homo sapien. And we got to go after that. We got to bring the Holy Spirit to that. We have to eradicate, eliminate, abolish, destroy, nebulize, nucleate that stupid piece of ourselves that keeps giving deference to, I got to do the chores. I got to get the job done. I'm so busy. You ever notice that? Everybody's busy. Everyone's busy. It's not just the president. Everyone's busy. Everyone's in a rush. We're dumb like rats. All right. You have anxiety? You have fear? I want you to think of the tension meter. I want you to think of tension. I want you to think that shifting your vantage point is a function of dissolving the tension in your body. Tension comes from four areas. Tension comes from lack of flexibility. Tension comes from an inability to pull your joint support in an endorphin-producing manner. Endorphin-producing. Pulling your joints apart to produce a massive chemical shift in your body. Tension comes from insufficient flexibility in vitally important places to be flexible that you don't even know about. There's number one. Your anxiety is because you don't understand the joy of pulling your tendons apart. Number two, chemical toxicity. Chemical toxicity creates your mood. You have ADD, you have bipolar, you have manic depressive, you have obsessive compulsive. You have rage, you have irrational anger. Go on and on and on and on and on. We go in there, there is a chemical toxicity. That means all the garbage you're sucking down through your lungs, ingesting through your food, and failing to eliminate through your kidneys, your liver, your skin, your breath. When you add up the balance between the garbage you bring in and the rate at which you remove it, it leaves you on the wrong side of the fence. And you, my friend, are chemically toxic. If you add that to your lack of flexibility, what in God's name then are you blaming your psyche for the fact that you have road rage, for the fact that you just yelled at somebody inappropriately, for the fact that you feel depressed to the point where you don't want to come out of the house? What are you doing that for? Why are you going to the doctor and have the doctor talk to you about your mommy and your daddy and your psyche and all the things that went wrong in your childhood and the rest of it, when all you have to do is get up in the morning and go to the bathroom correctly? Yeah. Think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4 good defecations a day. That'll put you in a good mood. And for lack of it, for chronic constipation, for we go once every 2 to 3 days, for medical doctors telling you, your gastroenterologist telling you, well, yeah, some people, it's just normal. They go every 3 to 4 days. That's where we're at. That's where the genius is. That's where the bastions of trust destroy us in the name of higher learning. It's okay to go to the bathroom once a week. It's a normal thing. Do you realize that is what you're told today? Today, this is 2019, not 1819. Every day I go into the water. Somebody comes up to me and says, you must be nuts. I'm nuts, huh? I had a lady just tell me, two ladies this week, they said, you know, you're going in that water without a rubberized suit? I said, yeah, and my only regret is it's not 10 degrees colder. And they said, you're brave, but you're also crazy. I mean, that's a New Yorker. Some New Yorker with a big beachfront house that invaded Corona Del Mar. You're brave, but you're also crazy. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not crazy. I'm just educated. That's what I said. I'm going to burn you, lady. I'm going to burn you. Because if I don't stick that in like that, I'm not going to create the right impression. I want you to think about the fact that this is an educated statement. And I want everybody listening to pat themselves on the back. And I really mean this, for being wise enough to get educated. Because definitely 95 to 99% of the world thinks you're crazy. Those of you who are not on the website, I wish you were. Picture number one, you're looking at five-element Chinese medicine. It says that the emotion called anger is really the organ called the liver. It says that the liver controls the tendons. It says the color that calms the liver is green. It says that if your gallbladder is plugged, you're going to worry a lot. It says that if you worry a lot, your gallbladder is going to get plugged. We all know the emotions. What? You know, we know this. You know this. Where do you hold? If you ask your average human being, your average American, about what and where they hold their sadness, and you said, Mr. Smith, I'm going to buy you a Big Mac or a double quarter pounder with cheese, a chocolate shake, the fries, the Coke, the whole thing. I'm going to buy you the full McDonald's dinner. If you'll just simply sit down and while you gobble it down, I want to ask you, where do you think you hold your sadness? In your large intestine? In your stomach? In your genitals? In your kidneys? Or in your heart? Where do you think you hold your sadness? What do you think he'd say? I mean, if this guy only had a fifth grade education, what do you think he'd say? He'd say, I hold it in my heart. You know it. We know this. We know, our society knows where it holds its emotions, specific to the organ. That's what the Chinese are saying. Well, then why wouldn't we clean the liver when we have emotional problems? Why wouldn't we think in terms of changing the physiology of the organ systems? Why wouldn't we think of regulating the organ as an attempt to harmonize the emotions when we already know we hold sadness in the organs? Think about that. I'll tell you why. It's called these educated morons that go to college, go to grad school, get themselves their university degrees, and can't think their way in the creative sense out of a paper bag, that ask you to betray yourself by swallowing your common sense and getting down on your knees and praising credentials. That's why we forget that if you're going to deal with anger, sadness, fear, you're going to go after it in the organs. And if you don't, you're going to go nuts. And that's why I did this show today. You're not really crazy. You're just toxic and stiff. So the Chinese say in the heart you hold sadness. In the liver you hold anger. In the kidney you hold fear. In the digestive tube you hold worry. In the gallbladder you hold worry. In the lung, you hold grief. Grief. Grief is sustained sadness. Hey, guys, you think I'm snowing you? Let me tell you something. I can strip you down and tell you who you are in 5 minutes. I can read you like a card shark in a poker game. I make a living doing this, my friends. I get paid big bucks to do this. And I know how to do it. That's what doctors know how to do because they don't have a lot of time to know their patient. Someone sits down across from you and says, doctor, help me. You can't afford to move in with them for a year or two. You got to figure out what's really going on because they're not going to tell you. Your clients don't tell you. Your patients don't tell you. They don't walk in with the truth hanging on their nose. They've spent their whole life denying themselves their truth. That's why they've got sick. So they're going to walk in. No, they're going to use every ruse in the game to throw you off the path. And you have to be imperturbable. And generally, I am. By the way, the show, the class tomorrow is sold out. We're having 60 plus people come to the place. We're going to do a seminar on the hardcore science of cleansing. And then I'm going to get the iridology and or the tongue diagnosis moved into the latter half of the show. We're going to have some patient testimonies, client testimonies. We're going to have a shindig. We're going to have a Lollapalooza. I have worked very hard, and some people have worked very hard to bring themselves out of illness and or out of depression and or out of just regular old, I don't have my health anymore, and they are getting healthy. And I'm very proud of them, and I'll be presenting some of them at tomorrow's class. Because that's what I do. I spread the word. So you catch one of these classes, I'll let you know when the next ones are. Tomorrow's is sold out. We'll do another one in April. Any of you lost in the labyrinth of health, get on the website in an hour. You can come in and see me personally if you'd like with your personal issues. 714-850-1007. Call that number. Speak to my wonderful staff. Come in and see me. I'll give it to you straight. God bless you. Jump in the water this week. See you later.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
Part two. Here we go. Good morning. The slower paced, more relaxed version. Let us begin. Can you imagine listening to me on the freeway, just tuning in to 7:40 a.m.? I pray for people sometimes. Chinese medicine. I went to acupuncture school in New York City, 1994, 95, part of 96. Great school. It's called the Tri-State Institute of Traditional Chinese Acupuncture. It was owned by a guy named Mark Seam. Go to picture number four. You know, I see the pictures are not numbered correctly today. Well, you're looking at the website. Just use your common sense. The top picture is picture one, then across two, three. So the top row from left to right is 1, 2, 3, 4. There's not so many pictures, so you can figure it out. Picture number four. It's the picture of a book. Body, Mind, Energetics Towards a Dynamic Model of Health, Mark Seam. I think that was his wife. Forward by Ted Kapchuk. Ted Kapchuk was one of the bigwigs of Chinese medicine. Anyone that ever went to acupuncture school knew of Ted Kapchuk. His book, The Web That Has No Weaver, was one of the great ones. I didn't think it was a great book at all. And I didn't really appreciate him at all. But I appreciated his acumen and his savvy. They were much better books. But I went to this school, and it was dynamic. Mark Seam was a fantastic lecturer. Jewish guy. In his early 50s when I met him. This is back in 96. 95, 94 in New York City. Greenwich Village. Great place to go to acupuncture school. They had his needling in 8 weeks. This guy was so dynamic. This guy ran a school like I would have run a school. Cut out all the BS. It was just a school of no bullshit. Get right to it. You know, a good East Coast Jew getting straight to the talk of it. Couldn't have had a better teacher. I love the guy. But I went up to his practice in Central Park West. He had a very busy practice. And I didn't see anybody heal. It was just symptom control. That always bothered me. It bothered me always that no matter who I got mentored by, which wasn't him, I was just a student that was curious. He was always a little leery of me. And I understood that. Anybody that mentors me, he's going to have to be an animal. And I've had some animal mentors. Tough guys. Strong. Mark wasn't quite that way, but man, he was eloquent. And I went up there to watch him practice, as was my, you know, privilege. And it was the same old, symptom control, nobody really healing. That always bothered me. I didn't get into it to do symptom control. I got into it to see a healing. It's fascinating to watch a dysplastic cell, a diseased cell, turn itself around and find its way home. That's fascinating. That's exciting. That's what you can charge a lot of money for if you want to. If somebody's got a lot of money and you give them back their health, you should be well paid. What the hell is wrong with that? What do you think a brain surgeon gets? No, it should be free. Yeah. Nothing is free, my friends, despite what some of these jackass socialists make you think. Nothing's free. So I went to Chinese medicine, got into it, started learning Mandarin under the tutelage of the school of Mark Seam, Raleigh Fingers. No, Raleigh Brown was his name. It was great. And they turned me on to five-phase Chinese medicine. Yes, I had a point here. Five-phase Chinese medicine. Picture number one. Look at that. There is so much depth in that. It's saying that you have two sets of organ systems, the Zhang and the Fu. The yin organs, which are dense, liver, heart, spleen, which is the digestive system, including the pancreas, the lung, and the kidney. Dense organs. And then you have the organs with the holes in them. The gallbladder is just a hole. It's just a tube. Not a tube, it's a sac. The small intestine's a tube. The large intestine's a tube. The stomach, a tube, yeah. The stomach is a sac. The bladder is a sac. The sac of the bladder, the sac of the stomach, the sac of the gallbladder, and the tube of the small and large intestine. Tubes and sacs. Empty tubes and sacs. The tubes and the sacs are supposed to contract and move the stuff that's in them out. Guess what? They don't when you're in autonomic imbalance. When you're in sympathetic dominance, a word I'm going to use to you guys, because you guys listen to the show offline, off air, and you've heard me talk about sympathetic dominance a lot. I have a pool of about 600 people that listen to the show regularly. And there's triple that that just come in and out. But I know who you are. And I'm going to be doing a webinar soon to get to you. Because these classes I'm running, which are doing great, which are going to go the whole distance, a year, 2 years, which are going to produce a lot of healings. These schools are prohibitive if you live in wherever you live. You live in Kansas, you can't go. So you live in Indonesia. You know, it's interesting. There's always that person that loves that shtick, and I get it because I was that way. That's going to come from a far away place. It's kind of beautiful. I'm not knocking it. I was like that, kind of. Because they were so dedicated, you know? And that's a great thing. But most people, they can't come. It's just not practical. It really isn't. So I'm going to start a webinar soon. I know off the bat, we've got about 60, 70 people for a webinar, so we're going to start one. And I'm going to get this information that way. It's never going to be, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to say it's not going to be as good. I'm going to say it's going to be as good in a different way. Because I got to tell you, there's something about just hearing a voice. There's something about just hearing a voice. So we've got these five tubes and sacs. Gallbladder, small intestine, large intestine, stomach, and urinary bladder. When you're in autonomic sympathetic dominance, that means when you are under stress and you don't even know you're under stress. Who, me? I'm not stressed. Yeah, you. I don't have stress. Those people are always the most stressed people. When you're sympathetic dominant, those tubes are held in constriction. When they're held in constriction, they don't work. That costs you. Now, the other ones, the liver, the heart, the spleen, meaning the pancreas. Spleen is always a weird one. Spleen has to do with the yin aspect to the digestive prospect, to the digestive process. So it's the more chemical side of digestion. I'll just let that go for now. Lung, kidney, the heavier, denser pieces. But whether you're talking about the zhang or the fu organs, all of them control emotion or are in reciprocity with emotion. You have to get this. It's not fair to say your anger is toxicity of the liver. It's fair to say that what you experience as anger is heavily influenced, jaded in a negative way. Your anger is unduly, inappropriately, unfortunately exaggerated by the toxicity of the liver. And the toxicity of the liver means other things. It just doesn't mean flush your gallbladder. It means move the blood of the liver. It means soften the liver through stretching. What do you mean stretching the liver? The liver controls the tendons. Look at it. Look at picture one. Liver. Go up and see sinews. The sinews. That's the tendons. So it's fair to say that your experience of anger each day, the emotion behind your anger, is largely influenced by, is the liver moving its blood? Is the liver moving its bile? Is the gallbladder dumping its bile? Are the tendons flexible? And they're all in reciprocity with each other. You've got to get that. They're bouncing back and forth through each other. And how do you know what to do along those lines? It's a deep question, but the body built a mechanism within each and every one of us to determine the efficacy of your health ritual, whatever that health ritual is. So whatever you think you're doing for your liver, if in fact you're doing something for your liver, whatever you're doing for your anger, that after this show might relate to whatever you're doing for your liver, begs the question, How do you know what you're doing for anything? Because you'll make yourself less angry? Well, yes and no. No, because the end result is often down the road. And asking people to follow blindly before they get the effect down the road is delusional. People want to know now. You go to a stretch class, you want to know now. You go to a enema thing, you do a coffee enema, you want to know result now. You swallow olive oil in a flush, you want to know now. You do some color therapy, you want to know now. You have someone stick their hand up underneath your right upper quadrant to start to pull the common bile ducts open, to start to pull the hepatoduodenal ligament to get it soft, to do some visceral manipulation. People want to know now. They want to know if they're getting a return on their investment that costs time, that costs money, that costs energy. They want to know now. And now is not when you're going to see a discernible change in your anger levels. You're not going to see your liver tumor go away. So how do you know along the way then? That's why you got to get in touch with your senses. Your senses. As you refine your senses, the first thing you'll start feeling is energetic shift. Oh, energetic shift. What's energetic shift? You know, tomorrow at the class, I'm going to have some people bearing testimony to what that means so we can be very clear as to what that means. The body is a magnetic field. And when you start to regulate that, the nature of that electromagnetic current to frequency, to wavelength, to whatever and however you want to get physics about it. Rest assured one thing. We have been brought here with an ability to know whether we're moving in the right direction or the wrong direction. And don't let any biophysicist, any biochemist, any engineer, any physical chemist, anybody take that away from you. If you work part-time at McDonald's and make $5 an hour, don't let anybody take that away. It is your inalienable right to hold to that truth. When you do something in the direction of cure, you're going to get a message back to you. It's going to make you feel good on some level. Follow that, whether it's an electron or a 5,000-mile molecule. We say as you clean the liver, the tendons soften, and as you stretch the tendons, as they soften, as you clean the liver, you start to move chi. As you start to move chi, the endorphins flood the body. But do the endorphins come first? Do the chi just come first? Who gives a shit about whether the endorphins come first or the chi comes first? And while you're messing around determining idiocies like that, you're forgetting the fact that the body moves forward in reciprocity. Reciprocity. That's the functional word. It means start anywhere and know that if you feel yourself advancing, if you feel that the stretch advances the coffee enema, and that the coffee enema pumps so much endorphin into your blood that it ordains better life's choices, it stimulates, it coerces you into making smarter choices on a daily level, and those smarter choices deepen your commitment to your practice, that's reciprocity. Your job is just to know if what you're doing is detectable by your senses. So the concept here is you're not really crazy. You're just toxic and stiff. Let's bring it back in to center line now. You're not really crazy. You're just toxic and stiff. If you've got your emotional stuff, you got to start dealing with your organ systems and cleaning them. But then you've got to develop, and this is the point, you've got to develop your senses to this meeting point between how you see your world and the things you do in your health practice and how one will change the other. Because you're going to evolve yourself to the point where you can command almost instantaneously a shift within yourself so you can meet the adversity of your day. Now the heart, you've got to open the heart. So when you're kyphotic, when you can't go and use a foam roller to invert yourself, when you can't bend your spine into the alternate position from the kyphosis to the reverse of the kyphosis. You know somebody sitting there at the desk slouched over at the shoulders so that the sternum, the area between the breasts, male or female, is collapsed? That individual needs to be able to reverse that. If they're locked in a posture, they will fail to find their joy. A sad man is slouched up at the shoulders, which does what? Creates stasis of blood. Stasis of blood means an increase in the precipitation rate. You have to slow the blood to precipitate it more readily. Stasis, precipitation, structural duress, intensification of sadness, inability to let sadness go. And one day your heart just bursts. I see these types all the time. We lost a very good guy like this last year. Very nice guy. I would always tell him, you know, you're going to check out, my friend. And it's okay if you want to check out. You may have decided you don't need to be here anymore, but you got a wife and a lovely daughter, and I know you're sad. So just know what you're doing. And he came in, I would teach him to stretch, but he wanted to check out, so he did. At 58 years old, 58, he just died. Massive heart attack. Whatever sadness, whatever made him sad, he was beholden to. He couldn't shake it. People can't shake their anger. They can't shake their sadness. They can't shake their tendency to worry. They can't take their tendency to live in deep primal fear. And if you think your shrink is going to get you out of that, your shrink is just one piece. You have to understand it eclectically. But then you have to measure it like a scientist and not like a new age health food boob. You know, people are always saying, I can't talk like that. Yes, I can. I do. My counsel's always telling me not to criticize my fellow practitioners. And I don't. I criticize my profession, who encourages my fellow practitioners, usually at this point who are much younger than I am, to be boobs, to be unemployed boobs, to be struggling boobs, who have drank the Kool-Aid that their so-called holistic colleges have bestowed to them. Listen, guys, my fellow practitioners, in case you don't know this, schools are there to make money. And what that means is, instead of refusing to admit 90% of the students that come in, they invite them in. And they call that democracy. Without any real respect to the fact that most of the people that are let in are never going to make a living, or are never going to make a good living, or in fact are never and never had the talent to do what they were admitted to do. It wasn't that way at one time. These things you hear me talk about at one time were investigated by people who were selected. Selected. If the chiropractic school, if the acupuncture school, if the massage school, if the academic programs I've participated in refused people, we would have had about 90% of the class walk out, meaning 90% of what was there shouldn't have been there. When I went to chiropractic school, definitely 25% of the class was just looking for a good buck. So the schools have to water it down. And then everybody forgets that, and we create this false reality. So we don't really learn the laws. There's the law of reciprocity. Reciprocity. You've got to cultivate your senses to the point where one step forward is integrated into all the other pieces. Meaning you stretch, and you find that as you stretch, it calls you to cleanse. It calls you, meaning your body tells you to cleanse to facilitate the stretch. And as you cleanse to facilitate the stretch and stretch better, the stretch brings up your psyche. And it reveals to you the issue, psychically speaking, at hand. The psychic issue gets down on the table, and your lower self, your neurotic, angry, fearful, sad, whatever it is, wherever you're going with it, it reveals itself to you and asks you to make a choice. And as you continue to pump, endorphin through the pleasure of these processes through your body, eventually you amass enough endorphin to shake your mood, to shake your devil. That's reciprocity. The heart holds sadness, and it has to be addressed structurally. The heart has to be addressed structurally. It is, you know, breath, for instance, you see, and again, reciprocity. You can't talk about any of this. You cannot talk about your psyche without talking about your diaphragm. You can't talk about your diaphragm without talking about flexibility. You can't talk about flexibility without cleansing your blood. You can't talk about any of it without cultivating the psychological container such that as your emotions come up, you've got a way to process them. Look at that. Look at that. Listen, healing is like making music. Healing is an orchestration. Okay, so you're John Q. Public, you were surfing the web, you just tuned in, you have no clue as to what I'm talking about. Not in a functional sense. Not in a functional sense. Not like, okay, what did this guy say that really I can take to my healing immediately? Take this, my friend. Take an understanding that as you execute the health rituals, as best you can with regard to your present level of knowledge, that what you're really doing is cultivating your senses. Because you're going to sense the benefit of anything you do. And as you sense the benefit, it will tell you it. When I say it, I mean the sense of pleasure, of benefit, will tell your inner self, your higher self, the truth within you will be contacted by the authenticity, the veracity of the cleanse, of the ritual, of the stretch. Will talk to your inner self in a way that will ask your inner self to consider your next move. You'll know. All you're doing is following your sense of pleasure. You're following your sense of pleasure. All these tasks are pleasurable. It's about pleasure. It's not about healing. It is about pleasure. You have a brain tumor. You know what you're looking for? Pleasure. You're trying to melt cardiac plaque. You're looking for pleasure. Health is not executing task. Health is not some cookbook or higher level cookbook process. Health is about sensitizing yourself to the pleasure of the task. Because it's your pleasure sensors. I hate these analogies that I make sometimes. I'm going to make one now. Health is like masturbation. Acquiring health is like achieving orgasm when you play with your genitals. How do you know what to do moment to moment? Do you need to read a book? Do you need to watch a video? Do you really need to learn how to bring yourself to orgasm? I hope not. Maybe that's not true for some of you. But generally, you just do it. How do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? There's something within you that follows the pleasure. Feed yourself the pleasure. So if you do nothing, if you knew nothing about your anxiety, about your rage, if you knew nothing about how to deal with it, except stretch and cleanse, and didn't know how you were going to orchestrate it, if you understood that all you're doing in your orchestration is following your sense of pleasure, you'd have it figured out. But you know what? If you really knew how to do that, you wouldn't be sick in the first place. And that's the truth. So it's a quandrum. That's why healing is trial and error. It's not the trial and error of I tried this, it worked. I tried this, it didn't work. You know what healing is? Healing is a trial and error of this pleased me, this didn't please me. I thought this didn't please me, but underneath it, it really did please me. That's it, my friends. If you got that, you got everything. I gave you the keys to the kingdom. I offered them to you. If you got them, you got them. I didn't really get them in there. I'm just offering you an understanding. And that's why you got to work with this stuff. The lung is grief. Grief is barely, if ever, understood. Grief is sustained sadness. Grief is sustained sadness. Grief is chronic depression. Whatever you grieve, loss of love, being born and abandoned in a dumpster. Whatever you grieve that you can't even put your finger on, rest assured there's an antidote there. There is always a neutralizing force. Always. Always, always, always. But where's your level of consciousness? What do you do with grief? Well, grief is in the lung. And the lung's a funny organ. It requires more things than we know to function correctly. One of them is its moisture needs to be regulated by the intestines. The mucus of the lung is in bed. It's in bed. It has a love partner in the mucus in the large intestine. That's a big one. It's got to be respected. When you don't defecate, you fill your lung with mucus. When you don't defecate, you fill your lung with toxin. When you're overweight, grease, dampness builds up in the large intestine and overflows into the lung. So the lung becomes damp. When you don't digest your oils, because your gallbladder is hard and failing to emulsify, you become dry. The lung becomes dry. The eyes become dry. The lung requires oil. The lung requires moisture, but not too much moisture. The lung requires the cooperation of the kidney. The kidney. But it's not really the kidney, it's the lower heater. It's the sacrum. If the sacrum's rigid because the psoas is tight, and the psoas pulls forward and locks L5 into S1, the kidneys suffer. So once the kidneys suffer from contracture of the muscle that owns the kidney, the psoas, then the sacrum, the fifth lumbar, the psoas, the diaphragm are all locked up. And that lung cannot benefit from the rising warmth. The rising warmth and the accompanying vasodilatory. The bronchial tubes that feed the lung will not expand and relax and be warmed by the strength of the kidney if you're stuck there. So in that context, you have to understand grief. So if you look at a body and someone grieves, okay, you grew up, your dad was an alcoholic. Your mom left your dad. In fact, your mom had you off a one-night stand with your dad. And she married your dad because she was religious to the point where, well, she got, you know, she did her thing. It was a one-night stand. She got pregnant. She did what her family told her to do. And you were born. And your dad's a drunk. He's an alcoholic. He has problems. And your mom finally said, when you were 3 years old, I'm done. Goodbye. And she walked. And now it's you and your dad. So you grew up taking care of your dad. And it just so happens you look like your dad. You make the axiom, daddy's little girl, I mean, that's you and him on another level. So you've got your narcissism with your daddy. And you and your daddy have your thing, except he's always drunk. So you're not going to do what mommy did. You're not going to leave your daddy. So half your childhood is spent taking care of your drunk dad, and 2 to 3 days a week you come home and pull him out of his own vomit on the floor. I'm not making this stuff up. You got to know that, right? These are just stories of people along the way. So you're sad. You're kyphotic. You're sloped up at the shoulders. You're kyphotic. Your heart's been crushed. Now, that is not just a psychological entity. You have to approach that through your structure. But it's going to include your kidney, because your heart is going to affect your lung. Grief is sustained sadness. So first we hit the heart, then we hit the lung. Did your dad molest you? No. Did anybody molest you? No. In utero, in the early years, perhaps your mother was so happy she was having you. Downstairs, below the belly button, you're well put together. Meaning you're healthy. Meaning you were given the basic love through the oral and anal stage. Meaning that's not where your problems are going to be. They're upstairs. They're higher in the chakras. So you have sadness. And now you're 12 and it's turned to grief. We got to work that. And that's a little bit different than if you're, say, a doctor. And you have grief because you're around sadness all the time. And under the stress of it, say, you go through phases where you gain weight. And if you gain too much, it shuts your kidney down because it tightens your psoas, and that affects your lung. That's a completely different kind of grief. But you see how the same thing comes from a completely different pattern of integration. And that's what you're reading and trying to do when you're reading health. You're trying to read that person's pattern of health, that person's pattern of disease. It's infinitely complex on a cerebral level. On a cerebral level, it is infinitely complex. On a cerebral level, on an intuitive level, it's easy. Because whether you're that doctor or whether you're that kid that grew up helping your dad out of his vomit, it doesn't matter. Both healings, each person, and add to it every other healing, is just an individual trying to please themselves. You're looking for your pleasure. And if you understand it that way, and you understand that really you're just getting better at pleasing yourself through the tasks at hand, the health tasks, and you just get better and better at doing it and adding to it and diversifying it. In other words, developing a practice of pleasure. You don't need to listen to any of this with me. But what we've succeeded in doing, and the reason that I'll do shows like this, is we have really turned it around on you. We have turned the healing into some complicated, overly cerebral process that even if it's righteously cerebral, like I'm doing now, it still doesn't give deference to far more powerful tools, and that's that intuitive capacity to please yourself. And then there's the disrespectfully cerebral, like your lung problem needs a pharmaceutical or a surgical solution. Like your arrhythmia, like your congestive heart failure, like you're headed for a heart attack, has nothing to do with this litany of reciprocity I just described. You see, that's standard Western medicine. Which you're still buying into. You are buying into it. So please do not just nod your head and say, yes, this is all good. Listen, you know how many times I see people that are into this holistic game here? The minute the shit hits the fan, they're at Kaiser Permanente doing whatever needs to be done. There's no such thing as holistic medicine when you're facing something serious. And sometimes there shouldn't be. But you don't really know if you understand this stuff until you're tested. Until something scares you. Until it gets so difficult to get out of bed in the morning that you don't get out of bed. That you wake up once or twice a night with panic attacks. That you're really lost in the labyrinth and choking to death on a myriad of emotions. Do you find out whether or not you understand this stuff? And whether you're a practitioner or whether you are, in fact, a patient, it's the same for everybody. All right, I'm going to stop here. It's 45 minutes plus the 30. That's an hour and 15. That's enough of me. What do you say? If you're new to the show, especially if you're just searching the web, because we're on YouTube now. You know, I'm about 100 years behind this computer thing. If you're listening to this and you were just, you know, up at night searching the web, hit upon this, get on the website. That's straighttalk.cc with two T's, .cc, not .net, not .com. And look at the pictures, which I didn't really get into today. And if you're international or in another state, I'll be doing webinars soon. And we're going to pull this one off over the web. If you're around Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, if you're close enough, I run a class. I run two, but one is just for people that I've really either been under my care or sometimes other doctors. I don't leave that open to the public. I tell people about that anyway. Because I want you to know how I do it. I have a much larger class. My smaller class is 25 people. And they all stay. Because if they stay, they can integrate this stuff. Because its meaning gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. This is not a show. I am not a doctor. This is not a teaching that you absorb through your cerebral intelligence. You need it, but you have to integrate it through experience. But I have another class. And that class I do tomorrow. And that class is open to you unless it's closed out. Enjoy this Saturday. You have to enjoy this Saturday. We all earned it, right? Winter may be in its last leg. Maybe. We'll see. Okay. God bless you. We will see you next week. Ta-ta.